Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Abgenommen bedauert. Frequency.
Bromo Seltzer presents The Adventures of Ellery Queen. Tonight, the makers of Bromo Seltzer bring you another thrilling adventure with Ellery Queen, the celebrated gentleman detective in person. Ellery Queen again gives you a chance to match wits with him as he relates another story of a crime he alone unravels. Then, at the point where he was able to solve the mystery, he stops the play, gives you a chance to guess the criminal's name. In the studio tonight, we have as our guests Ken Sears, New York Yankee catcher, and Art Flynn, business editor of the weekly newspaper Sporting News. We'd hope to have with us, too, the star second baseman of the Yankees, Joe Gordon, but he was unable to join us. However, Messrs. Sears and Flynn have accepted Ellery Queen's challenge to solve the mystery before the solution is revealed. And now, Ellery Queen, master detective, and your host for the next half hour.
Thank you, Ernest Chappell, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. In tonight's story, Nicky and I quite unexpectedly become involved in the crucial game of the World Series. I call it The Adventure of the World Series Crime. Series. You all know what's happened. The Eagles won the first three games. Then the Larks came back to take the fourth and fifth games. And now the Larks are leading in the sixth game, 3-2. Here's the pitch. Ball four. That's a walk for Henderson. Fills the bases for the Eagles. Two out. We'll see now. Oh, here's the great Sparks himself coming to bat. Now let's see. A hit will score two runs. The Eagles will win 4-3, and the World Series will be over. But if the Larks can stop Sparky again, the series will be all tied at three games apiece, and the payoff game tomorrow, there it is. Strike one on Sparks. You know, everybody's asking what's happened to Sparky. Champion batter of the major leagues, he was an Arkansas tornado in the first three series games, hit over 500, won the first three games for the Eagles almost single-handed, and then he folded. Here's the pitch. Strike two. Strike two. Well, Sparky didn't get a hit in the fourth game or the fifth. And today, in three official tries, the great Sparks has popped up once and struck out twice with men in scoring positions. There it is. Ball one. That's one and two on Sparky. You know, there's some ugly rumors around, but take it from your Uncle Ted, they're just malarkey. You know, you've heard them, that Sparky's been drugged, Sparks has sold out to the gamblers. It's all... Here it is. Strike three. Sparky didn't even lift his bat off his shoulder. He's out. Well, that's the game, folks. Ties it up at three games apiece. But what's happened to Sparks? Mr. Dayton, owner of the Eagles, wants to know. Mac McClune, fighting manager of the Eagles, wants to know. What's happened to Sparky?
No. Just a minute. Mr. Dayton's private office. What? No. Say, listen, Weisenheimer. I'll give it to you in plain English. There ain't no more tickets. Oh. Hello, Mr. McClune.
The boss in, Susie?
Yeah, he's waiting for you. Say, Mr. McClune, I want to tip you off. The boss said me and the boyfriend could see today's game from his box. And, well, you know what that means.
Yeah. As usual, Dayton's ducking out in a pinch.
Yeah, well, the rest of us still think you can lick them bums, Mr. McClune.
Thanks, Susie. You want to see me, Mr. Dayton?
Oh, come in, Mac.
Yeah.
Mac, I am leaving you in complete charge.
Going away today, Mr. Dayton? I notice you have your golf clubs already.
Yes, I'm running up to the country club. I couldn't stand the strain of the final game, Mac. My heart, you know.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll phone you the result.
Well, it's not as if I were running out on you or the team, Mac.
Oh, it's not, Mr. Dayton.
You'll bench Sparks, of course.
Thought you were leaving me in charge.
But, my dear McClune, he's had half a dozen chances to win the series in the last three games. And what's he
if
done?
If Sparky goes, I go.
Oh, he couldn't bat a ball with a coal shovel.
Bat a ball. Bat. Bat. Oh, what a fool I've been. Of course, the bat.
What are you raving about, Mac?
Look, Mr. Dayton, if your heart can stand the strain of making one phone call before you go out to play golf, just one, mind you, we can still win this series.
A phone call?
I want a detective. Pay any fee he asks, but have him here in 15 minutes.
A detective? What detective, Mac?
The best in the world, Mr. Dayton. If there's one man can save this World Series for us, it's Ellery Queen.
And there, ladies and gentlemen, you have the beginning of our mystery. We'll be back in just a moment to tell you more. But first, Ernest Chappell.
You know, nobody minds hard work these days because we're working for victory. But what are you going to do when you're stopped by a common sick headache? Now, Miss Edith Ide of Fremont Avenue, Los Altos, California, has the answer to that. She writes,
I work at the Red Cross 7 hours a day, 5.5 days a week, and spend what time I have left practicing my music. This constant work and study is quite a strain, and sometimes I get a common sick headache and my nerves feel on edge. Well, one evening, while listening to your very entertaining Ellery Queen program, I heard your clever, educated train tell about Bromo Seltzer, and I decided to try it the next time I got a headache. Was I delighted with the quick, effective relief I got? Why, in just a short time, my head felt a lot better, and my jumpy nerves began to calm down. I told everyone at the office about it, but most of them informed me that they were already familiar with Bromo Seltzer's grand help and had been relying on it for a long time. Now I'm never without Bromo Seltzer. I keep a bottle in my desk at the office and another at home.
And that's a wise idea for everybody. You know, these days, you never know when you're liable to get a common sick headache. So if you don't already have a big blue bottle of Bromo Seltzer in your home medicine chest, get one tomorrow for sure. And now back to our mystery. In answer to Mac McClune's phone call, Ellery, Nicky, the inspector, and Sergeant Beely have just arrived.
Hello, Mac.
Hello, Ellery.
You know my father, Inspector Queen?
The inspector.
Hi, Mac.
Sergeant Beely?
Hi.
And this is my secretary, Nicky Porter.
Hello.
Miss Porter. When they heard you wanted me on a case, Mac, I couldn't shake them off.
Is there anything we can do to help the Eagles win, Mac?
Thanks, Inspector Queen.
We're Eagle fans, all of us.
We need them all, Miss Porter.
I got a week salary on the Eagles, Mac.
You and a flock of others, Sergeant.
Where's Mr. Dayton?
In a place where he won't bother us. Ellery, if you can solve a mystery in 3 hours, we've still got a chance to win. If you can't...
Doesn't sound like Mac McClune talking.
3 hours. Give me the facts.
Well, Ellery, you know ball players. They're all kind of superstitious.
Yeah. Remember how Babe Ruth always touched second base on his way in from right field at the end of every inning?
Sparky's worse, Sergeant. He's got a pet bat.
You mean Ellery's got to find one of those nasty things that fly around at night?
Mac's a baseball manager, Nicky, not a zookeeper. He means a baseball bat.
Go on, Mac.
Well, Ellery, with that pet bat of his, Sparky's the greatest hitter in the game today.
Well, out of it, he's just a bummer.
Hold it, Sergeant. Mac, what happened to Spark's bat and when?
Well, the morning after the third game, Sparky told me about it, but it went clean out of my head. Somebody stole his bat.
Aha!
If Sparky gets back his bat, you think he'll snap out of his slump, Mac?
Inspector, I'll eat your badge in the launch dugout if he don't.
Ellery's been asked to find stolen jewels, stolen documents, but a stolen baseball bat.
Quiet, Nicky. Mac, was the bat stolen from the clubhouse?
No, Ellery. Sparky was so nervous about it, he wouldn't leave it in the regular bat rack. He took it home with him.
Where does he live?
Well, Sparky got married just before the series.
You mean the World Series is Sparky's honeymoon?
Sort of, Miss Porter. So, Mr. Dayton gives Sparky and Lily, that's Sparky's wife, the use of his apartment during the series. They've been living there.
What are we waiting for? Let's go.
Here's Dayton's apartment, Inspector.
Okay, Mac. Really, you park out here in the hall and watch this front door. We don't want to be disturbed. Go ahead, Ellery. Knock.
Fancy layout.
All right, Inspector. You ain't leaving me out in the cold in a case like this.
Bailey!
Yes, sir.
Mac, come on in. Oh,
hello, Sparky. This is Inspector Queen, his son Ellery, and Miss Porter.
Howdy.
I'm going to meet the missus. Lily,
hi,
meet Inspector
Spark.
Queen.
Hi. See, it's awful good of you folks to help Sparky.
I reckon I'm fast being helped, Lily.
Maybe not, Mr. Sparks. When did you first discover your bat was stolen?
Well, Mr. Queen, I always put the bat in the hall closet there. The first thing I woke up the morning of the fourth game, I look in the closet, and Uncle Sam, that's my pet name for the bat, you see.
Sparky calls everything we own by a pet name, Mr. Queen. There's a skunk back home that bothered the chickens. Sparky calls him Hitler. I'm beginning to like you, Sparky.
The bat was missing, Sparky, when you first looked in the closet that morning?
No, Inspector. That time, Uncle Sam's standing there all right. But then, all that morning, we have visitors, and when they go away and Lily and me get ready to mosey over to ballpark, why, I open the closet door and Uncle Sam's gone.
How many visitors did you have?
Wasn't it three, Lily?
Oh, four, Sparky. Four visitors. Well, that means one of them must be the thief.
I reckon so, Miss Porter. I wasn't counting Mr. Dayton, Lily. He's not exactly a visitor, this apartment being his'n.
Oh, Mr. Dayton come first. He forgot to take his golf bag with him when he gave up this apartment.
So he comes to pick it up.
Tell Mr. Queen who the other three were, Sparky.
Okay, Mac. First there was Pegoli.
Pegoli? The big-time gambler?
I smell a rat.
And what did Mr. Pegoli want?
Well, it's sort of personal.
Oh, now, Sparky, you mustn't hold anything back up when you want Mr. Queen to help.
Lily's right, Sparky.
Well, Mac,
now, look here, Ellery. Sparky's the idol of sports fans all over the country, and he deserves to be. He sets a good example for the kids. Don't drink, don't smoke, a square shooter. But he's got one weakness that's going to get him in a heap of trouble. It already has.
I know. I read about it in the papers.
Well, that's where Pegoli fits. Gambling.
Looks that way, Dad.
Commissioner had you on the carpet about it, didn't he, Sparky?
Yeah, Inspector.
But Sparky won't listen. He wastes most of his dough paying off.
Gee, I've tried so hard to make him stop. I even refused to marry him until he promised to quit. Only he didn't quit. I reckon you'll have to excuse me.
Now, Lily.
Be a good girl, Nicky, and keep Mrs. Sparks company in the next room.
All right, Ellery.
So you owe Pegoli money, Sparky, and he came here yesterday morning to collect,
When you start talking about gambling, Sparky shuts up like a clam.
Guess who's outside asking to see Sparky, Ellery?
Speak of the devil, Sergeant.
Huh? A big shot Pegoli.
Bring him in, Vili.
All right, Inspector. Step into the parlor, Mr. Fly.
Be careful with your hands, you.
Yeah.
Oh, I beg your pardon, Mr. Sparks. I come back tomorrow, eh?
Well, now, I don't know.
Might be too late, Pegoli.
Inspector Queen, I not see you at first.
In an umpire's eye, you not see him.
Be careful how you talk, Mr. Vili.
Sergeant Vili to you, pig.
My business with Mr. Sparks, it can wait. I go now.
Oh, wait, Mr. Pegoli.
What do you want?
Well, seeing how things are, maybe I better tell the truth.
The truth? You told me Pegoli came to see you the other day about the money you owe him, Sparks.
Well, I didn't want to worry you, Mac. Mr. Pegoli here,
take care of what you spill, Hick.
He was willing to forget my IOUs if...
Mr. Sparks, I warn you.
If
What?
If I threw the series, Mr. Queen.
So that's it, Pagoli, you dirty backstabber.
Oh, you from me. Drop that rod, Pagoli. Oh, it's dropped. Now I'll give you a demonstration of the famous Lee. Say, Uncle. Ah, that's better.
Fireworks over? Now, Mr. Pagoli, did you have any bundles or packages with you when you visited this apartment the other day?
All of a sudden, I'll talk English, huh?
No, he didn't have Mr. Queen.
You're sure, Sparky? Did he wear a top coat?
No, sir.
Okay. Head him out, Petey. Put a tail on him, though. I think we'll be seeing more of Mr. Pig.
Come on, Pig. Back to your stuff.
Sparky, who were the other two visitors you had? Who came after Pagoli?
After Mr. Pagoli comes Collins.
Collins? Manager of the Larks?
Yep, and after Collins comes Buck Fisher.
Fisher's the first baseman on your own team, Mac, isn't he?
Yeah. Sparky beat Buck out of the batting championship by 3 points.
Less than 2 hours left. Time's running out. Dad, you and Mac tackle manager Collins, the Larks. Nicky and I will call on the vanquished Eagle batsman, Buck Fisher.
You'll find both of them at the stadium now, Ellery.
Good. That saves us time. Dad, we check with each other at the stadium. Sparks can give us the other details on the way over. Hurry.
We've known each other since the old sandlot days. We don't have to spar around.
Well, what's on your mind, Inspector?
Collins, why did you, the manager of the opposition team, drop in to see Sparks, the star batter of Mac's team during the World Series?
It's your little idea, Mac? Trying to frame me just before the start of the last game?
You know me better than that, Collins.
Okay. Inspector, I ran up to see Sparky about our bet.
What bet?
$2,000, even money on a World Series winner.
Sparky bet his team to win, Collins?
That's a hot one. Did you ever hear of Sparky betting against himself? Sure, he bet on his team. With his team taking the first 3 games, I thought Sparky might be willing to raise the ante. At big odds, of course. But no soap.
Sparky said no?
He was willing, Mac, but his wife said nix.
Collins, were you wearing a top coat that morning?
Who, me? A top coat in this weather?
Did you have any bundles with you?
Criminy, no. Say, what's this all about anyway?
Forget it. Come on, let's go, Mac.
Just a minute, Inspector. Collins.
Yeah, Mac?
Who you pitching today?
See tonight's paper.
There's the door to the Eagles' locker room, Nicky.
There comes an Eagle.
Excuse me, are you Buck Fisher?
Yeah. See you out in the field, fellas.
Okay.
Who are you?
Well, don't you know Ellery Queen?
Never heard of him, lady. Hey, you're not the new sports writer for the Herald, are you?
Strike. No, Fisher, I'm a detective.
Detective? What goes?
A few simple questions, Mr. Fisher. Why did you pay a visit to Sparks the morning of the fourth game?
Well, Sparky and I had a bet all season on who'd wind up with the best batting average. Sparky won by 3 points. 10 is Hyde.
And I saw him do it. Made 5 hits in the last game of the season.
So what?
So why'd you drop in to see Sparky that morning, Fisher?
Oh, we had another bet. Who'd get the most hits in the series? Sparky hit like a house of fire the first 3 games, but I figured he'd fold. So that morning I comes up and I says, Sparky, how about doubling the bet?
Did he, Fisher?
He says yes, but his wife says no. So what's the matter, Sparky? Cold feet? Well, Sparky says okay. Yeah, then his wife starts the waterworks, so I beat it. But the double bet's on. Oh, there's a signal for batting practice. I gotta go out and cloud a couple.
Oh, Mr. Fisher.
Yeah?
Did you wear a top coat that morning or carry any packages?
What? No.
Miss Porter, why did you ask Fisher those last 2 questions?
If you can ask him of Pagoli, Mr. Queen, I can ask him of Fisher.
That's what I thought. Come on, Miss Copycat. Let's find Dad.
Inspector, you learned exactly as much from Collins as Ellery and I did from Buck Fisher.
Yeah, Nicky, a great big goose egg.
Ellery, the game will be starting in a few minutes.
Are we getting anywhere?
Well, Sergeant.
We haven't even got to first base. Ellery, we're no nearer finding that bat than when we start.
I wouldn't say that, Dad.
Ellery, don't tell me you know where...
Yes, I know where Sparky's bat is, Nicky. There's only a 50-50 chance it's still there. Dad, step aside with me. I'll tell you what to do.
Now, you telephone...
Ellery and his pesky secret.
Yeah. I wonder what's cooking.
Nearly 2 hours since Dad made that phone call, Nicky, and no sign of anybody.
You wear out the sidewalk, Ellery.
2 hours waiting at the ball player's entrance, and we could have been inside with Dad and Vili watching the game. Dad, what inning is it?
Last of the ninth, son.
What's the score now, Sergeant?
Still the same, Miss Porter. 1-0 in favor of the Larks.
Oh, give up, Ellery. It's too late now. You must have been wrong this time.
Nicky, I tell you, I wasn't wrong. I couldn't have been. How can I go in there and face Mac McClune without that pet bat of Sparky?
Well, you can't do the impossible, Ellery. He gave you only a few hours. What's that?
Nicky, this is a...
What? A police call? But Ellery...
You, Ellery Queen?
Yes.
Here it is. The bat.
Hooray!
We got it.
Are we in time, Mr. McClune?
By the snakes of St. Patrick, it is. It's Sparky's bat. Hey, Sparks! Floyd, call Sparky back. He's on his way to the plate.
Right?
Back
for
the police department.
Hey, how's
it stand? Oh, we're behind, Inspector. Same as yesterday. 1-0 last. The ninth base is full. 2 out and Sparky up. Sparks!
Sparks get a hit. Any hit will drive in 2 runs.
And we win.
Sparky, take the lead out of your feet.
Hey, what is it, Mac?
You're not benching.
Your bat, Sparky. Your own bat here. Now go on out there and use it.
Uncle Sam. Don't you worry, Mac. Good old Uncle Sam won't let you down. One side, fellas.
And there, ladies and gentlemen, you have the mystery and I hope a solution as well. Nicky, will you be good enough to introduce our guest armchair detectives for this evening?
Well, Ellery, our guests tonight are certainly the right men to try to solve this mystery because both of them know just about all there is to know about baseball. And when I tell you who they are, you'll see what I mean. Our first guest is Ken Sears, catcher of the New York Yankees and son of Ziggy Sears, famous National League umpire. You can be sure that when the Yankees meet the St. Louis Cardinals for the first World Series game October 5th, more than a few eyes will be watching Ken Sears.
All right, Nicky, I'll agree the first guest knows baseball. But what about the second?
Well, our second guest isn't a ball player. But that doesn't mean he doesn't know about baseball. He's Art Flynn, business manager of the Sporting News, the Bible of the baseball world. Mr. Flynn has been with the Sporting News for 16 years and has covered every World Series in that time. Mr. Flynn says that the Sporting News has a tremendous international circulation, since so many of its old readers are now in the service, but still yelling for their copies. And, incidentally, they get them. And now, Ellery?
Mr. Sears, I have 2 questions for you this evening. Number 1, where did I find Sparky's bat? And 2, who stole it?
Well, Mr. Queen, I believe you found that bat in Mr. Dayton's golf bag.
Mr. Dayton's golf bag. And how did it get there?
Well, I believe Mr. Dayton visited Sparky's apartment that morning, and I believe he stole that bat and went out to the golf course to play golf and missed that last game of the World Series.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Mr. Sears. And now, Mr. Flynn, where did I find Sparky's bat and who stole it?
I think I've got to agree with Ken Sears, Ellery, that he found it in the golf bag because no one had a top coat. And secondly, I'd say that when the person that put it there was Lily, the wife, because when they were talking about if he threw the series and she walked out and said no when they wanted to double his bet, it's the case of that famous French saying, cherchez la femme.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Flynn and Mr. Sears.
You'll have to wait a moment to find out whether you've solved tonight's mystery correctly. And in the meanwhile, here's Ernest Chappell, who it develops is up on his modern slang.
Ellery means I'm hep to the jive, I suppose. And all because I happened to mention to him that when you have a headache, you just can't be on the beam. In other words, you don't feel 100%. But if you're hep, that is to say, if you know your way around, the chances are that you know our Bromo Seltzer gives quick, effective relief from the three-way misery that may often accompany a common sick headache. Yes, Bromo Seltzer acts three ways, on head, nerves, and stomach. Try Bromo Seltzer the next time you have a common sick headache. See how quickly it has you cooking with gas, or as we old fogies say, feeling more like your old self again.
That was simple, Nicky, once I knew the facts. Only four people, Dayton, Pagoli, Collins, and Fisher, visited Sparky between the last time he saw the bat in the closet and the time he saw it was gone. So obviously, one of those four stole the bat from the apartment.
Well, I said that long ago, Ellery, but which one?
The important question wasn't who took the bat, Nicky, but how. How was the bat taken out of the apartment under Spark's nose without Spark seeing it?
Strike one.
After all, a bat is a sizable object, 36 inches long and a solid hunk of hickory.
So that's why you asked about the packages and the topcoats, sir.
Right, Dad. But none of the four visitors carried a package or wore a topcoat. The topcoat idea was a shot in the dark. Actually, you can't conceal a 36-inch baseball bat under a coat, or inside a trouser leg, for that matter, and still walk like a human being. Yet the bat was taken from the apartment. How? There was one article taken out of that apartment that was big enough to conceal a 36-inch baseball bat.
But Spark said nothing went outside.
Wrong, Dad. Spark said one thing did go out. Remember, Dayton's golf bag.
Dayton? The owner of the Eagles? The one who lent the Sparks his apartment?
That's right. Dayton came back for his golf bag, Sparky said.
And with the top zippered over, it'd hold a baseball bat and not be seen.
No! Strike two.
Now, either Dayton put the bat in his golf bag or someone else did. If Dayton were the thief, the first thing he'd do once he was out of the hotel was get rid of the bat. But if someone else put the bat into Dayton's bag and Dayton hadn't yet looked inside, the bat would still be there.
So, Nicky, Ellery told me to phone the chief of police nearest to Dayton's country club. Chief rushed to the club, found Dayton's bag still unopened, and the bat inside.
Well, Mr. Dayton can't be the thief.
And there's ball two.
Then who stole the bat? Who did it? Well, who hid it in Dayton's golf bag?
Well, who was in the apartment when Dayton took away his bag? Not Pagoli, not Collins, nor Fisher. None of them had arrived yet. Only two people were there besides Dayton, Sparks and his wife. Did Sparky steal his own bat? Would he deliberately get rid of the one thing he needed most to win his bet?
No. Couldn't be Sparks.
Then it must be... You mean his own wife?
Mrs. Sparks stole that bat.
She's the only one left, so Sparky's wife must be the thief.
But keep take your
Mrs. Sparks.
Yes, Mr. Queen.
Will you come here, please?
You were wanting me, Mr. Queen.
You've heard what I just said.
Mrs. Sparks, Lily, why did you do it?
Oh, gee, I thought if Sparky lost his pet bat, he'd lose his bets and Collins and Fisher and Pagoli and all the others. I thought that would cure him. But I, oh, gee, I didn't realize what it would mean to Mac and to Sparky's teammates and all the fans. Well, I was scared to admit it.
Doggone it, a foul.
Ellery, do we have to tell Sparky?
If everything comes out all right, I don't see why, Nicky.
Oh, you're a darling.
Don't forget Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam came through in the clutch, and he always will. And there, ladies and gentlemen, you have the solution to the mystery. I want to thank Mr. Sears and Mr. Flynn for appearing as guest armchair detectives this evening. We want especially to compliment Mr. Flynn on his skill in solving the crime. We have for both Mr. Sears and Mr. Flynn a personal gift from Bromo Seltzer, also an autographed copy of my latest mystery anthology, The Female of the Species, and a subscription to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine.
In just a minute, Ellery will be back to tell you about next week's mystery. Meanwhile, here's a friendly tip from an old pal, our famous talking Bromo Seltzer train.
Right, headache! Three
yes. Fight headaches three ways with Bromo Seltzer. You see, common sick headaches may often affect you three ways. Pounding head, nerves that jingle, jangle, jingle, and upset stomach. So it seems sensible to take Bromo Seltzer, which is scientifically designed to fight all three. Yes?
Bromo Seltzer gives quick relief from that pain in your head. Bromo Seltzer helps calm jumpy nerves. Bromo Seltzer helps settle upset stomach.
Now you can take Bromo Seltzer while it's still fizzing or after it settles down. Use it only as directed on the label. For frequent or recurring headaches, see your doctor.
When it's a common sick headache that has you feeling miserable, let our talking train tell you how to lick it.
Say, Ellery, come on back here a minute. You got anything to say before we close up this shop?
Yes, I have, Chappie.
Well?
Ladies and gentlemen, because you had asked for them, during the summer months, we brought you what we felt were the best of the Ellery Queen mysteries broadcast during the last 5 years. Tonight's story marks the end of these command performances. For with next Saturday's mystery, we will again bring you brand new Ellery Queen adventures.
Now... Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy.
It's easy to create your dream kitchen with Clearview Cabinetry at Menards. With multiple finishes to choose from, you'll be sure to find a style that fits perfect for you. Clearview Cabinetry offers features like soft closed doors and drawers as standard and cabinet accessories to match your unique style. Explore Clearview's cabinet options and start designing today in store or on Menards.com, where you can find more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Ellery Queen in The Adventure of the Message in Red. Because it relieves headache pain so fast.
Take an Anacin.
Because it gives prolonged relief.
Take an Anacin.
Because it's made like a doctor's prescription.
Take an Anacin.
Aniston presents The Adventures of Ellery Queen. Tonight, the makers of Aniston bring you another thrilling adventure of Ellery Queen, the celebrated gentleman detective. Ellery Queen invites you to match wits with him as he relates another story of a crime he alone unraveled. Before revealing the solution, he gives you a chance to solve the mystery. Tonight, Aniston's guest, who will represent you home, armchair detectives, is the famous actor Victor Jory. And now, here's Ellery Queen, master detective, and your Aniston host for the next half hour.
Thank you, Don Hancock, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, tonight's mystery really had my father going.
Your father, huh?
Oh, Nicky.
I suppose all those murders were duck soup for you, huh?
Oh, no, Nicky, this case was no harder than many I've had. Anyway, I call it The Adventure of the Message in Red.
Hotel Arbutus, public stenographer. Yes, I'm Miss Kirby. At this hour? But... All right. If you drop into my office right away, I'll try to get it out tonight. Oh, why can't they just take their old business letters during the day? Oh, gee, I'm tired. I'd better douse my eyes with cold water. I'm so sleepy I could... So soon... Coming. Gee, they must have used a house phone from the lobby. Come in, won't you?
Hooray, hooray, in Dixieland.
Now, who's that? Nobody out here. Oh. Now, who'd be using that talky thing from the vestibule? Nobody does. Yes? Yes, this Miss Hazel? What, at this time of night? I was just going to bed. Been washing my supper dishes. All right. If they've just got to have a reader's report on it by tomorrow morning... Just open the vestibule door, and my apartment's the first door on your right. Would be my luck if it's one of those half a million word jobs. Just a second. Oh, I wish I were in the land of cotton. Old times there are not...
That's all you've got to tell me, Pinkett. Call back when you make sense. Sorry, Ellery, to keep you and Nicky waiting.
Those two killings last night, Dad, huh?
Yes. Lasted.
What two killings, Inspector? I haven't seen today's paper.
Two girls, Nicky. First one, a public standard with the Hotel Arbutus on Lexington Avenue. Shot to death at 9:15 p.m. Name of Kirby.
Second one, a part-time manuscript reader for Mason and Morris and the publishers, of Miss Hazel. Shot to death around 10:30 p.m. in her Greenwich Village apartment.
Both has opened their doors. No evidence of robbery. Both unmarried, unattractive. No entangling alliances. Lived alone. No witnesses. No clues. No motive. And the girls never knew each other. Never knew any of the same people. Cute?
Then the murders aren't connected, Inspector.
But they are, Nicky. Ballistics reports the same gun killed both of them.
I don't wonder you're puzzled.
I think it's an upkill myself, Ellery. Yes, Billy?
Afternoon, Sergeant.
Hi, Miss Porter. Nice job.
Hello, Sergeant.
Inspector. Know what?
No. What?
Another one.
No.
Huh?
Yeah, a girl shot to death. She answered her door around 1 a.m. last night. Body wasn't found till this morning.
Ooh, number three last night.
Who is this one, Billy?
Lady's maid, Lucille Dubois.
Dubois, Sergeant, French.
Yeah, French maid. Worked for the Canellas.
Canella? The Vetti Canella?
The same.
She was shot in the Canella house, Sergeant.
Yeah, that 199-room shack on Upper Fifth Avenue, in her bedroom.
A stenographer, a publisher's reader, and a lady's maid... Mind if I sit in, Dad?
You can make any sense out of it, son. Come on.
Sergeant.
head. My home overrun with police officers. I've had to cancel the most important appointment this afternoon with my hairdresser.
And Mrs. Canella, if you let me get away...
My husband is simply furious. My daughter, poor child, frustrated.
Look, Mrs. Canella...
And I'm on the verge of losing what little mind I have.
Mrs. Canella...
You understand, Mr. Crean. I know you do.
The death of your maid has upset you, naturally.
Oh, yes. Where am I going to turn? How can I replace Lucille? You don't know the trouble I had getting her originally. And now she's dead. It's not fair. It isn't.
The trouble is, gentlemen, you don't know the problems we girls have.
Yes.
Look, madam, how did this happen?
I'm sure I don't know. People shooting off guns in my home and everything. I'm so glad I wasn't home when it happened, even though the house is completely soundproof.
Your husband, will you, madam?
Mr. Kinnett? Oh, no. No, he was out somewhere. His club or something.
How about your daughter?
Madge. Oh, now, please. Don't drag poor Madge into this. She suffered so much already.
When did you first learn your maid was dead, Mrs. Canella?
About 11 o'clock this morning, Mr. Creighton. When she didn't bring my breakfast in bed, I knew instantly something was wrong.
Well, of course. That's the way you tell.
Oh, yes. I rang and I rang and I rang.
Mrs. Canella, who found the stiff?
Stiff?
The remains, madam.
Why, my daughter. One of the servants told Madge that Lucille's light was still on this morning, and she didn't answer the door. So Madge went up to the servants' quarters and went in and... The poor child, the poor, poor child. That's why no one answered my rings, you see.
Leaving you without breakfast. Oh, that's simply frightful,
oh, yes,
Miss Canella. Yes. Well, suppose you have a little snack of caviar and cold pheasant or something while we hunt up your dog.
Oh, dear. Must you?
Must we what, madam?
Give Madge the third degree or whatever it is. You don't know how sensitive the child is. She's always been so delicate. She shrinks so from the more brutal aspects of life.
Oh, Mother, stop drooling.
Madge, darling, are you all right, dearest?
Definitely not. Are these some more policemen? Who's the wench, a sob sister?
The wench is Nikki Porter, Mr. Queen's secretary.
Ellery Queen.
Sergeant Verley.
Inspector Queen. Now, Miss Canella.
And you're in charge. Why isn't that body taken away, and who's going to clean up the mess? And you're to keep reporters out, too, do you hear? Thing like this happening now. Do you hear me? No, newspaper men.
Oh, dearest, don't excite yourself.
Oh, shut up, Mother. All this is your silly fault anyway.
My fault?
Yes, I told you long ago you should send that snoop packing, but no. You had to hang on to it till she had the bad taste to get herself murdered all over our house. What am I going to say to Evie?
Evie?
My fiancé. The three-star engagement was supposed to be announced this week. One of the very best Boston families. He'll never stand for a scandal.
Why should you think there's going to be a scandal, Miss Canella?
Oh, well, isn't a murder scandal enough?
I don't think that's what your daughter meant, Mrs. Canella. Yeah?
Nothing. Nothing at all. I didn't mean anything.
Let's take a look at the corpse.
Interesting.
What, Ellie?
Notice the facing surfaces, the tips of her index and middle fingers, Dad, on the right hand.
All calloused. Funny place for calluses.
Yes.
If you gentlemen are through admiring Miss Dubois' calluses, would you mind covering up again so I can turn around?
All right now, Nikki.
But how do you know this maid's murder is connected with the other two murders?
Bradley was here early and dug the bullet out of her chest, Nikki. Ballistics just reported it came the same gun that shot the Kirby and Hazel girls. Just what the connection is, I'm blessed. Oh, Veely?
Yeah, you throw the corpus inspector the morgue wagon's here for the pickup.
Take her away.
She's all yours, boy.
What did you find out about the other servants, Sergeant?
Names? Butler, James Smathers, cook, Sally Fabian, chauffeur, Waller Boyle. Upstairs maid, Vera Andorf. Smathers and Boyle share a double room, so do the Fabian and Andorf woman. Each bunkie alibis the other for last night. Period.
Mother, you know you shouldn't be up here. Just your morbid curiosity.
Oh, I don't know why you say such things to me, Madge, baby. Oh, look what they're doing.
Stay out here in the hall, Margaret. You too, Madge.
Inspector Queen.
Who are you?
I'm Milford Canella. My wife just phoned my club. Is there anything I can do?
Excuse me, folks. Okay, boys. Take her through.
Oh, Madge, I can't look. Oh, poor Lucy.
Be yourself, Mother.
Well, Mr. Canella, we were just... Pardon me. Harry, what's that you just picked up?
Oh, well, this piece of scrap paper was hidden by Lucille Dubois' body, Dad.
A message in red.
Red?
That's it. Let me see.
In red? Is it? Oh, it is.
Written in blood.
She must have lingered a few minutes after the shot when that killer left. She tried to write something before she died.
What's it say, Ellery?
Starts with a capital M, but there are a lot of spatters in the paper, and I can't quite make the rest out.
I'll have Cranny look it over in the police lab. He'll decipher it. Give it to me, son.
It's quite important that you make a quick arrest, Inspector.
What's that mean, Mr. Kennelly?
I expect very shortly to be appointed to an extremely important diplomatic post abroad. So this unfortunate little affair must be cleared up at once. And without scandal.
Milford has worked so hard for the honor.
Yes, it's been Father's pet dream.
In fact, Inspector, unless you solve this case within 24 hours, I may have to see to it that, that someone else is put in charge. Come, Margaret. Mad?
And Father's just the little guy who can do it.
Dad.
Harry, where are you going?
I have to confirm a theory, Dad.
Theory? About what, son?
About the connection between the three murders last night. I think I know now what it was. Anybody care to come along?
And there, ladies and gentlemen, you have the beginning of our mystery. We'll tell you more in just a moment, but first, here's Don Hancock for Anacin.
Friends, if you want quick, comforting relief from pounding headache pain...
Take an Anacin.
Yes, take an Anacin, because Anacin relieves headache pain so swiftly. Millions now know that easy-to-take Anacin tablets act fast, give prolonged relief. And that's why we say...
Take an Anacin.
There's a good reason why Anacin relieves the agonizing pain of headaches so much more quickly. Anacin is made like a doctor's prescription. That is, it contains not just one, but a combination of medically proven active ingredients. Your own physician or dentist may have already recommended Anacin to you. That's how millions first discovered Anacin's incredibly fast relief. And now, at the first sign of the pains of headache, neuralgia, or neuritis, they simply...
Take an Anacin.
Anacin, spelled A-N-A-C-I-N, is sold at all druggists. So if you want fast, prolonged relief from headache pain...
Take an Anacin.
And now, back to our story. It's a short time later, and the inspector's car, with Sergeant Feely at the wheel, is threading its way through midtown Manhattan traffic.
But what is the connection, Ellery?
Well, how'd you know, Marshal?
Well, what was the occupation of the first victim, the Kirby girl?
At least an Abbott.
And the second one, Miss Hazel?
The Greenwich Village gal?
Oh, she was a part-time manuscript reader for Mason and Morrison.
A public stenographer, a publisher's reader. Now, Dad, you recall the peculiar calluses we found on Lucille Dubois' right hand?
And the facing sides of the tips of her index and middle fingers.
What very ordinary activity, if sufficiently prolonged, would cause calluses there?
Holding a pen or a pencil.
Yes, Nicky, writing. But not casual writing, like the occasional writing of letters. Lucille Dubois was writing a great deal for a long time. Weeks, months.
A diary.
Perhaps, at least a very extensive manuscript in longhand, Sergeant. So, we have Lucille Dubois, lady's maid in a very wealthy society family, writing a long manuscript by hand. When it was finished, what would happen to such a manuscript?
You take it to a public stenographer.
To be typed.
Surely, the unfortunate Miss Kirby. And where do people usually take type manuscripts?
To a publisher.
And most publishers employ readers to weed out undesirable submissions. And that's your Miss Hazel of the Village. Simple?
Maestro, you're a genius.
The men at Gare's are probably the only three people in the world who've read a certain unpublished manuscript.
And that's why they were murdered.
Man, it must be dynamite. The killer must have swiped it, probably from the Hazel girl's apartment in the village after he bumped her off.
And destroyed it, Harry.
Yes, but there's still a possibility that something...
Well, might... here we are, Maestro.
Here's Rockefeller Center. Come on.
I must say, Mason and Morrison go in for book publishing in a large and handsome way, Ellery.
They're a bit on the sensational side, Nicky. Miss Jenkins?
Yes, Alberta Jenkins.
Are you the assistant editor my son spoke to on the receptionist phone?
Yes, and you must be Inspector Queen.
That's right.
I must say I'm all of a flutter. Am I arrested?
Not exactly, Miss Jenkins. Did you bring the list I asked you for?
Here it is. All the manuscripts turned over to Miss Hazel in the past few months for a reader's report.
Let me see, Ellery.
Say, she read a lot, didn't she?
It'll be quite recent, I think. Ah, look at this entry, Dad.
Maid tells all. By Lucille Dubois.
That's
wow.
Miss Jenkins, where's this manuscript? Are you sure Miss Hazel didn't return it to Mason and Morrison?
I'm pretty sure she didn't inspect it, but come into my office. No, it isn't here.
Oh, no.
But I just remembered. Where is that again?
Remembered what, Miss Jenkins?
There was a letter from Miss Hazel in this morning's mail. I've been so busy today, here it is. Still unopened.
Gammy, give that to me, baby.
Well.
Dear Miss Jenkins, enclosed is a short preliminary report on three of the last batch of manuscripts.
I will personally deliver the manuscripts plus full reports later this week. The enclosed thumbnail reports cover number one.
Give Back My Lover by Flo Gently.
Phooey. Romance in a phone booth, my Georgette bag. Wow.
And The Maid Tells All by Lucille Dubois.
No.
Miss Jenkins, would you mind leaving us for a moment?
I certainly do mind, Mr. Queen, but... Well...
Where's that report the Hazel woman enclosed? Here.
Now we'll find out.
Maid Tells All. Sensational true life story of high life as seen from backstairs. Style is faulty. Author obviously thinks in French, but might be worth a rewrite. Possibly high sales appeal, but must be screened carefully by legal departments against libel suits. That's all.
Maid's manuscripts filled a lot of nasty, unsuspected stuff about the Canellas that would have cost Milford Canella that high diplomatic post he's been angling for.
Or Madge Canella, her blue-blood Boston marriage.
Yes, yeah, somehow the killer discovered what Lucille was writing, who typed her manuscript, and the name of the publisher she sent it to.
And through the publisher, which reader had it.
So he's got to wipe out whoever read it. Steno, wham. Reader, wham. And he swipes the manuscript from her apartment. Then he goes back to the Canella dump and blasts Lucille and the secrets of sight.
Too safe, blast it. I thought we might find a clue here to the killer's identity. But apparently the whole Canella family has motive.
Stymied. Let's go down to headquarters. Maybe the autopsy's turned up something.
Don't drive so fast, Sergeant. You just passed a snail.
There's nothing to rush for, Miss Porter.
You could only see some daylight.
In this darkness, Inspector? Oh, at least I'm enjoying this ride on the East River Drive. Or I would be if the great man's thoughts weren't.
Of course.
Oh, Mr. Queen is with us again.
Why, then,
The answer, Dad. It's right in your pocket.
What answer?
To the triple header, Maestro.
Okay.
I forgot, you forgot, we all forgot, Dad. A certain message in red.
Holy. That dang message Lucille wrote in her own blood.
Say.
The one we couldn't decipher.
How'd I put it? Here. What's the matter with
me?
Feely, get down to headquarters, quick.
Yeah, man. If anybody can make it out, it's that whiz in the lab. Men, we're in. Sailing
over the world.
Sure,
beat it up.
Huh?
What's eating you now, son?
A car right in our trail coming up fast.
Some drunk who wants a race.
With a police car out.
Billy, he's out to wreck us.
Oh, yeah?
Keep going, faster.
Look out, Sergeant.
Why, that's
a shot. No, not with Mickey in the car.
Don't find me.
He's gaining.
I could only spot the driver. It's too dark.
Billy, watch it. Look out.
One piece.
Sorry. I'm okay, too. Inspector.
No bones broken, Vili. Oh. Ellie.
By a miracle, we're all right. Oh, Vili, that was quick thinking.
Oh. Certainly was.
Oh. Well, if it weren't for the way you took that crash, Sergeant, we've been through the retaining wall at the bottom of the river.
Thanks, but look at the car, Inspector.
Never mind the car. Why?
Dad, Lucille's message.
Huh?
All three Canellas were present when I found it under Lucille's body this afternoon.
One of them must have trailed us.
Waiting a chance to destroy Lucille's clue before we could get it to headquarters.
Then the killer is one of the Canellas. And her message tells which one.
Hey, the car, Billy. Let's get to that lab.
Sergeant.
Well, Billy?
What's the lab verdict?
Well,
It's this way.
Sergeant.
No good.
Kind of looks like a puzzler, Inspector.
Never mind characterizing it, Vili. What did they say the message is?
It starts with a capital M, Maestro, like you said, then a period.
M period, yes.
Then a space, then a capital K, then a small I-N, the N trailing off like she died before she could finish the word. And that's all.
Capital M period, space, capital K, small I-N.
Capital K, small I-N. The start of the name Canella.
No doubt about it, Nicky.
But what's the capital M period space mean?
Last name Canella. M period must be the initial of one of the Canella's first names.
Milford Canella. M for Milford.
The daughter's name also starts with an M, Nicky. Madge.
Well, then it's either Madge or old Madge.
Let's not leave out Mrs. Canella. Don't you recall Canella addressing his wife as Margaret?
Frost. Another washout. Again, it could be any of the three. Let's go back to the Canella house. I'll find out which one it is. Good evening.
Oh, dear. Back Inspector Man again.
And that nice Mr. Queen, etc.
Well, Inspector, have you cleared up this mess?
Where were you three late this afternoon and early evening? Where were you?
I needed air. I was strolling in Central Park.
Alone, Mrs. Canella?
Why, yes.
How about you, Mr. Canella?
Well, as a matter of fact, I took a walk myself down Fifth Avenue. Very upsetting business, you know.
Meet anybody you know, Mr. Canella?
No.
And you, Mr. Canella?
I took one of our cars and drove around town for a while just to cool off. I'd had a phone call from dear Evie in Boston.
My daughter's fiancé told her they'd better wait about announcing the engagement until this miserable affair blows over. I knew it. I just knew it.
Aren't we getting off the track?
No alibis.
Hey, Ellery. Anything to ask these three people before I take them downtown for a real going over?
No, but why do you want to take them to headquarters, Dad?
Why do I? To find out which one of them bumped off the Kirby and Hazel girls and Mrs. Canella's maid. That's why.
Oh, I can tell you that, Dad. Right here and now. And there, ladies and gentlemen, you have the mystery. Now, suppose you home armchair detectives match wits with Aniston's guest for this evening.
And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, our guest, the famous actor of stage, screen, and radio, is Mr. Victor Jory, who is starring on Broadway in the hit play, Therese.
Good evening, Mr. Jory. It's nice to have you with us.
Well, Mr. Jory, I guess tonight's show is a change for you, isn't it?
It certainly is. Because generally I'm on the other end. I'm the person who's done the murdering, Hillary.
Well, you always are the criminal, but you're always so wonderful, too.
Well, thank you, Nicky. I hope you'll like me just as well in the role of detective.
Sure. Well, Mr. Jory, who do you think murdered the three women?
Well, I'm not very sure. I think it was the mother, why? Margaret Canella.
Why do you think that?
My only reason for thinking that is because the Milford Canella... suspicion is planted on him instantly by the fact that he says that he has a very important post and it's very valuable to him. The daughter backs that up. The mother has said nothing. Furthermore, the mother's alibi, being in Central Park, seems to me one that could be shaken less easily than the man who walked down Fifth Avenue, which might be checked on, or the girl in the car, because the car could be checked on afterwards.
Thank you, Mr. Jory. You'll find out in just a moment if your solution is correct. Now, here's Don Hancock for Aniston.
Today, millions are switching to Aniston. For Aniston is the modern way to relieve headache suffering. There's nothing to fuss with, nothing to mix or spill. Just easy to take little tablets that you carry right in your pocket or purse. And Aniston is the fast way to prolonged relief. Prove it. Next time you have a headache,
take an Aniston.
Aniston must give you fast, prolonged relief or your money back. I'll repeat that. If you're not thoroughly satisfied that Aniston does much more for your headache pain, simply return the unused portion and your money will be refunded. So tomorrow, ask your druggist for the small, inexpensive package containing 12 Aniston tablets. Take only as directed. If pain persists or is unusually severe, see your physician. Remember, there's only one Aniston. Don't be satisfied with anything less. Next time you have a headache pain,
take an Aniston.
Thank you.
son. You know which of these respectable citizens killed the three girls? Sing out.
Dad, what was the message Lucille Dubois left in her own blood?
Start of a killer's name. Capital M period, space, capital K-I-N for Canella.
Yes. But what did the capital M period stand for?
Well, it could only mean the initial of one of the Canella's first names, Ellery.
How can it possibly represent one of the first names, Nicky? Milford, Madge, Margaret, all M's. If Lucille had presence of mind enough to write that message, certainly she wouldn't have left an ambiguous clue. A clue that could refer to any of the Canellas. So, when she wrote that capital M period, she didn't mean the initial of one of their first names. She meant some other abbreviation. One she thought would be perfectly clear.
What, Maestro?
Well, Sergeant, what abbreviation, other than a first initial, usually precedes a last name?
Huh?
Abbreviation for Mr., Mrs., or Miss? Oh, no, that would be M.R., M.R.S., and Miss has no abbreviation.
Oh, so it can't be that either, Ellery.
It can't stand for Mr., Mrs., or Miss in English. But how about French?
French?
What?
Mrs. Canella's maid was French. And that reader's report in her book actually remarked that the author obviously thinks in French. What's the French abbreviation for Mrs.? Any schoolboy knows that. Capital M, small M-E for Madam. Miss, capital M, small L-L-E for Mademoiselle. But for Mr., Monsieur, it's simply capital M, period.
No,
get in, Billy.
I'll see you all sizzle for this.
Oh, yeah. I disagree, Mr. Canella. If anyone's going to sizzle, it's you.
And there, ladies and gentlemen, you have the solution to our mystery. We'd like to thank Mr. Jory for being our guest armchair detective this evening. And as mementos of the occasion, Aniston has for Mr. Jory a beautiful Gruen, very thin wristwatch, a copy of my new mystery anthology, Rogue's Gallery, and a subscription to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine.
Ellery will be back in a moment with a preview of next week's story. Meanwhile, remember, because it relieves headache pain so fast,
take an Aniston.
Because it gives prolonged relief,
take an Aniston.
Because it's made like a doctor's prescription,
take an Aniston.
There's only one Aniston. Get Aniston tomorrow. And now, Ellery, how about next week's case? Got another mystery with three or four murders?
No, Don, only one murder next week. But it's one of the most confusing to come our way in a long time.
A tough one, huh?
Yes, we had so much evidence we didn't know what to do with it. Not to mention the problem of the bending corpse.
The bending corpse?
Looks like that did it, Don. Now you'll have to wait till next week when Aniston presents The Adventure of a Happy Marriage.
If you are suffering miseries of a cold, why take chances with untried remedies when time-tested, reliable Hill's cold tablets may promptly relieve that dull, headachy feeling and the muscular aches and soreness of colds? Double your money back if you do not get satisfactory relief from such distress in half an hour. Take only as directed. Time the action. Only Hill's offers you double your money back if you do not get half-hour relief. Hill's cold tablets.
This is Ellery Queen saying good night for Aniston.
Aniston is a product of the Whitehall Pharmaceutical Company. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone.
With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeBest Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.